Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
It was funny, I was driving here, smashing on the freeway, trying to get here as fast as I can without breaking the laws, praise the Lord. I still was going speed limit, but I was pushing it. You know, I was like, oh man, is that a cop right there? I'm only going 70, but please, you know how sometimes they'll mess with you if you're not even driving that fast. But anyways, I was on the way, and while I was just taking in everything that went on at the event, God was showing me that it's a lack of people understanding what it really means to trust other people. How many of us would just trust everyone in life? No? Okay. None of us raised our hands. We don't trust everyone. Why do we not trust everyone? Because they're not trustworthy, would you say? You can get hurt. Anybody else? What's some reasons why we don't trust? Okay, we're supposed to put all of our trust in God. Okay. So there's a whole bunch of different areas or reasons why we don't trust everyone. Now, I'm going to even take it a step further. With me as a parent, I don't trust everyone watching my kids. I don't care if your name has the same last name as mine. You have to meet a certain criteria in my mind so I could say I could trust you with my kids. Now, some of these people in this domestic violence, they trust in any and everybody that says, oh, you're beautiful, or they say a compliment. And it was so strange that as they were telling their story, they would say, hey, I left, I got out, and I saw him again, and he was so nice, and then I got back in the relationship. And, you know, me, I'm like, man, how do you see that? But somebody that doesn't know or have any criteria for trust, they're going to trust anybody that makes them feel good for a moment. So as I was praying, I was like, God, what do you want me to preach on today? I do not want to just go and say, hey, this is a good message. But I was like, God, what are you trying to say to your people right now? And as I was praying, I was like, okay, man, God, well, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I just kept hearing that. I'm like, oh, that's what he's trying to tell me to preach on. So I'm going to talk about trusting in God. Everybody say trusting in God. As I was brainstorming, a lot of us still to this day have not fully trusted God in his full potential. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you have. Even if you freshly saved, you still have to learn how to trust in God. One of the key things that, as I was praying, that God said is, some people don't even trust me because they don't know me. All right, so says people don't trust God because they don't know him. Right? That's why you'll have people that's angry at God and say, oh, why is this God, as my dad said, a control freak? Why is he trying to ruin my life? Why? They don't know who God is. If they knew who God was and is and still is to come, they would understand that he has plans not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you. And as we talked about prosperity, everybody has different areas or needs that they have. But see, if you really knew who God was, you would know that God is not out to harm you. So what happens is, in one of the key points to trusting in God is knowing God. Somebody say knowing God. Let's do this. Let's go to Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. Read this scripture right here. Can you pull that up? Psalms 27 and 8. And it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Somebody say, remember. Keep going. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Now, in that scripture, we see that, and I'm going to take it a few steps further. It says chariots and horses. Why did people trust in chariots and horses back then? Because those were their means of war, right? So if you had the biggest and the baddest stable of chariots and horses, you pretty much were in control. The Egyptians were known for conquering a vast amount of the world because of their horses and their chariots. Now today, you got a horse and a chariot, praise God, but you're not going to... So Hannibal figured out if he get an elephant, you know what I'm saying, he can scare the horses, right? But now even elephants are not enough. So when it comes for us to put our trust in things, we have no longer put it in things of war, but we've put it in security that we can think with our minds. So what is the first thing people normally are thinking about? Their own security, their home security, their families, right? So what are some of the things that they'll put their trust in? Security systems, guns. What's some other things that people will put their trust in? Their jobs, money, stock market. Yeah, when the stock market crashed, I said in the song, people were looking for a savior because they were like, hey, what do we do? You know, people, even before Y2K, when we thought that was going to go on, the news was like, yeah, it's going to. And first of all, this is what I'm saying. Don't trust the news. Did I say that? Don't trust everything the news is telling you. They're like, huh? We're not going to make it. Y2K is coming. Go to the store, get all this. And I mean, they don't, as my dad just said last week, they can't predict the weather correctly from day to day. It was supposed to be sunny and cloudy, or sunny, one of those. You know, if you say that every time, you'll be right. But they don't say that every time. But what happens is, the news struck so many people with fear about Y2K. Some people committed suicide. Some people killed themselves because they were so afraid of something that did not happen. Now, we even know with the Great Depression what happened. People that trusted in money, people that trusted in their jobs and security in their own, what happened? Some of the richest people killed themselves. Some people lost their minds because these people did not trust in God. Now, let's go back to that scripture real fast. And it said this, Psalms 27 and 8. It says, some people will trust in horses and chariots, but we will remember the name of our Lord God. Now, remember is another word for trust in here. And then let's see what happens for those that trusted in their horses and chariots. They have bowed down and fallen. But what does it say there? We have risen and stand upright. When you trust in God, I don't care what you go through, putting your trust in God will help you get through the situation. Not only will it help you get through the situation, it will also allow you to be a victor. Right? That's what the Word of God says, right? Some of us are going through things in our life right now, and we say, hey, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I might be talking to somebody watching. I don't know. Some of us, we might think we've already made it, but some of us need to know that you're not going to be able to trust in all the things you've gathered. If you don't trust in God, you will fail. Now, some people was like, oh, man, I mean, even at this domestic violence thing, there were some people that wasn't saved. And I was like, hey, I'm not going to force God on you right now. I'm going to force a vision and purpose. But in the church, we have to let people know without God, you will fail horribly. Now, you might be good in this life for a season, because the word of God says sin is fun for a season, right? And see, sin, the thing about sin that people don't always remember is sin is not always you doing something bad. Did you guys get that? It's not always you doing something bad. But you not doing what God has instructed you to do is sin. Think about it. Jonah, who is in the Bible, powerful man of God, right? God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah was like, man, I feel like going to Miami. It's warmer down there. Ain't going to be too much strife down there. And what happened? We see God even allowed storms to happen, right? To get this man back. Now, did he do something bad? He just went on another boat, going another way. But since he didn't do what God had commanded him to do, it was considered what? It was considered sin. So we have to remember that it's not always us doing the bad thing, but not doing what God has called us can cause us a lot of problems. Nahum 1 verse 7 says, the Lord is good. Look at that confirmation. My mom just got up and sang a song, the Lord is good. But it says, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. Somebody say knows. Not only will we know God, he will know us. But, and this is what I'm going to say too. The day of trouble is going to come if it ain't already here. Right? There's going to be a time in your life where you are mentally challenged, physically challenged, and spiritually challenged. If you haven't faced something like that in your life, there's a huge problem. And most likely you're not growing. Because even growing is a physical challenge sometimes. Your body, some of us are getting old, so we're still growing, you know what I'm saying? But it's, sometimes you wake up, it's a physical challenge. Oh, man, I gotta get in shape now, you know? There's going to be different challenges, but we have to know that the Lord is good and we need to put our trust in him. So number one is a relationship. We got to have a relationship with God. Somebody say relationship. A relationship is very important to know. To know God, and it is key in trusting him. Let's go to John 14, 5, 1 through 4. Chapter 14, verse 5, 1 through 4. And when you got it, you can say amen. 14. Thank you. It says this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Which means that's enough if you just show us the Father. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, somebody say believes, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, as we see this scripture, we see the apostles They were building a relationship, but Jesus began to show them even a little bit more about the relationship that they didn't understand on the surface, right? Now, they knew Jesus. They're like, oh, yeah, that's Jesus right there. You know, and we were taking care. He was taking care of us. That was my family. You know what I'm saying? We got it in together. We shared. We ate together. We broke bread together. But then when he said, I'm about to leave, they're like, yo, where you going, Jesus? And can we get there too? Can we follow you? And he was like, no, you can't follow. And one of the disciples said, well, can you at least show us God so we can believe you, right? And Jesus was like, man, what you mean? I've been showing you God the whole time I was here. So now what has happened is the disciples get to see another realm of Jesus that they never seen before. As they built relationship with God, now that disciple obviously began to trust God or trust Jesus, right? He had to trust that Jesus was telling him the truth, that he was seeing God in him, right? Because if he didn't, then why would they have given their lives to spread this gospel? I mean, that's the incredible thing about each and every disciple. They surrendered their whole life, even after they ran away because they were scared for their own lives. After they got their heads right, they surrendered their whole lives to spread the good news of the gospel, of the kingdom of God, right? They spread the kingdom of God is at hand, and you can get in the kingdom or you can stay out of the kingdom, but you have to make a decision. These people died for the gospel, were imprisoned, were because they had a relationship with God. They trusted that what Jesus said to them about the kingdom of heaven, okay, well, this is my job. They trusted God so much that they were willing to give their life. And that's what we should be doing too today. God, if it means that I got to change my schedule for you to be used by me, then God, that's something that I must do. Somebody said this week, man, that I think that was really profound, is how many of us know about schedules, right? And even a clock. We all know about clocks. He said this, the clock was there to help us master time, right? But some of us let the clock master us. Oh, it's 2 o'clock. Oh, I gotta go. So now what we've been trained is that clock is our, I hate to say it like this. That clock is our God. If it says 3 o'clock, I'm supposed to be doing jumping jacks for 30 minutes. Right? Some people use it like that. I'm just saying. But we have to be able to, even something as small as a schedule, we have to be able to rotate that so we can be able to do the work that God has called us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'm not going to read this chapter, but it explains how the people of God, after all that God delivered them from, still wanted other things because they didn't trust God. As you read that chapter, it talks about Caleb being the only one able to go into the promised land because he what? He trusted God. Now, Caleb and Joshua are the only ones that went. Now, why? These people trusted God despite what they saw. All right? Let me tell you, a key in trusting God is not looking with these eyes. Because a lot of the things that God has told you that's going to happen in your life, you can't see it with your 2 eyes right now. Some of us have people that are visionaries in our life, and they'll say, hey, man, I can see you. You could be writing a book. Somebody told me that yesterday, the second person that told me that. I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. I need to get ready to do something like that. But if we don't have visionaries in our life, sometimes we're just like, oh, my life is pointless. Let me go to this job and punch the clock and move somebody's logs for 8 hours and get my check. That's not what we're all created for, right? Now, I understand some of us got to get money. But God has put in each and every one of you means to create money. But if you don't have a visionary showing you that, just like the word of God shows us as Christians where we are supposed to be at, even though we can't see it, if we don't have those things in our life, we will never proceed as God wants us to proceed. The more that we know God, the more that we'll trust God. One of the key things in knowing God is spending time with him. As I said, every time I preach, I can give you these two keys. Pray. And what's the other one? Read your Bible. You get these two things in your life on a daily. Just pray, read your Bible. You'll begin to know God way more than you know him now. I'm doing this little workout right now. I got a bike at my house that I have not been using. And I was praying. I was like, Champion, pray that I'll lose some weight. And Champion was like, well. And, you know, sometimes you can't tell certain people what you're trying to do. I'll tell you that, right? Champion is that's my brother, but he works at LA Fitness as a director of people that when you come in, you pay them a whole bunch of money to get some training. So he's a personal trainer, directors. So what you do when you go see Chayman at his job, you have a workout session with him, and he hurts people, man. He give them a 30-minute session, and people's throwing up, you know, and these are people that thought they were in really good shape. I tell you this, man, I've worked out with Chayman, and it's not fun. Sometimes I was like, why am I doing this? But then he was like, well, you have a bike. You need to use your bike. And I was like, oh, that's right. I got a bike. I'll be sitting on there every day. I didn't know that's what I was supposed to, you know, I mean, sometimes we don't be thinking like that, right? So I've been doing this 30 minutes a day, and I'm all right right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the night to be able to shed some pounds so I could be healthy as possible. But with that being said, I went to a personal trainer who has a vision to help you lose weight. He has his job is to train you to lose weight. Now, they actually have, I'm pretty sure they have things that you must do to lose weight the proper way. And they can, and you know, some of us will be like, hey, can I lose weight if I do this? And then if you hear the right words, yeah, you'll lose some weight. Then some of us will do it, right? Because he sees it. He's a visionary. He sees it. But how many of us know God sees things in our life that we still need to work on? That's why when we, it's just like when you used to hold your parents' hand, you trusted the person that you was holding their hand for the most part, right? You ain't going to grab a stranger's hand and be like, oh, let me go with you. Even little kids, my kids don't, if they don't know you and they don't have a real good relationship with you, they're going to hide behind me. They're going to be like, Dad, who is him in the green? Or who is she? And if I say, hey, yo, they're cool, you know, then they'll warm up to them. Because now, since I trust them, they'll be like, okay, I could, my daddy trusts them, so I could trust them. But we have to do the same thing. Does God trust this person? And I'm about to do a business transaction with, does God trust this person? If he doesn't trust them, guess what? It might be a good idea not to do business. It just might be. But the more that we know God, the more that we're going to trust him. This brings me to my second point, is credibility. Somebody say credibility. Now, for somebody to gain our trust, some of us said there is basically a checklist, right? They have to show themselves as being credible, which means they have to have in their life, you know, for a teacher to be a teacher, sometimes they have to go through training. Now, when they get the certificate, now they are a credible teacher, right? Now, with us giving trust to people, we're not giving out certificates, right? I'm not giving out a certificate to everybody that I trust. I think that's a little bit too extreme. But there got to be checklists within ourselves that we say, hey, I need to make sure this person is cool to be around. Okay, when I talk to him, does he talk negative to me all the time? Does Does this person do this? Does this person do that? Now, it's the same with in knowing God. Some of us don't think God is credible because we haven't looked at some of the things that God has done in our lives, or we've had some things that have went bad in our life, and now we blame God for that thing. Now, we got to remember that God, he does no evil, right? God does no evil. Anything that has happened in your life that was evil, that was not of God, all right? Now, some of us still be like, well, he had to have let that happen. This is what I'm going to say about that. God has given each one of us free will. And us having free will sometimes causes major problems. All right? The free will that I have means that I can love somebody or I can hate somebody. I can help somebody or I can hurt somebody, right? Because that's a choice that I have. Now, with what I'm saying is we need to understand that God is in the blessing business. And when I say blessing, I'm not just talking about financially, because God is not a money genie. He's not a money tree. He's not a lending surface. God is a God that loves us so much that the word of God says he did what? He died for us. He sent his only begotten son for us, that who may ever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the God that we serve, so we need to learn to trust him. God is credible. We just got to look at some of the things that he's done and realize, wow, I can't believe God did that for me. There's times in my life where I didn't have a job, and if I tell you right now how the bills got paid, I don't know how the bills got paid. You know what I had to realize? That was God coming through. I mean, like, I can't even find checks and stuff to figure out how the bills got paid, but somehow, miraculously, the bills were being paid. And I wasn't borrowing no money at that time. I wasn't going to the lending tree like, hey, matter of fact, don't go to the lending tree. My mom might get mad at me for saying that on the tape. But anyways, it's very important that we understand that God is a good God. Some of the old people would say, yes, he is. Amen. But he still is good. Let's go to Psalms 22, verse 4 and 6. And these are just a few scriptures that are going to help us in trusting in God. It says this: our fathers trusted in you, and they're talking about God. They trusted and you delivered them. So what was an immediate, I ain't going to say immediate, what was something that happened when they trusted him? He delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put the other verse. What we see is this person was in a situation, I believe that was David. He was going through a certain situation and he was like, I remember hearing that the older people trusted in you, God, right? What you laughing at, man? The last scripture? Yeah. And I'm going to explain why that was there. Because David was going through something and he was like, God, I saw how you worked for my parents when they trusted in you. It's just like me. I remember my parents saying they bought a house. Now, how did they buy a house? They didn't have no money. They were praying and fasting 50 days, something like that, right, Mom? Not 50, but they were fasting. And God blessed them with the finances to get a house that they're living in now. Now, me, I'm like, man, I seen God do that. Just like he was like, I saw God do that. So now I'm like, I'm in a place where I have to trust that God is able to do that, right? Now, in this story, David shares, he, as you go ahead and read that further, he is going through a lot of things, and he's like, man, God, I know that. Basically, what he's trying to say is, God, I'm going through something, and I saw and remember that you worked for my parents and their parents. I need you now. It was a cry for help, okay? Now, you can go ahead and read that later if you like. But God, if you look through history, God has made a way. He's paved ways for different people. That's the importance of hearing other people's testimonies. Nobody has a testimony like Philip. Nobody has a testimony like Brother Eli. Nobody has a testimony like my brother right here. Nobody has a testimony like any of us in here right now. Right? If it was, it would be like a clone, as they say. Nobody has my testimony. But if I don't share my testimony, nobody's going to know about how good God has been in my life. That's why the word of God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Somebody is waiting for you to share your testimony, because in sharing your testimony, they can and will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful it is when we share how good God has been in our lives. Let's go to the next scripture, Psalms chapter 56. This is my big scripture for the day. So we're going to read this chapter. It's not too long. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will," what? "Trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" Let's stop right there. Do you know that people can't really... let me be careful when I say this. But people don't have control over you. Do you know that? As I was talking to the people with the domestic violence issues, I said nobody has control over you. The only way they have control is if you allow them. We know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. As soon as somebody says something that's not life to me, I have to say, I can either be like, "Oh, that hurt my feelings." Or I can be like, "Listen, I don't need you talking to me like that. That was not life. That was death. And I don't accept that for my life." Now, some of us, we just, we got to be good Christians and love everybody. Hey, you can love everybody, but you don't allow people to hurt you. And that's what they were actually training people with domestic violence to learn, how to not let people hurt you. But in God, just because we're a Christian, that if somebody comes and says something wrong to you, you can either say, "Hey, that was wrong." You can apologize, but it's not going to affect me. We have to be able to say things like that, right? Let's keep on going. We trust God. Somebody say, "I trust God." "All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity, in anger cast down the peoples of God? You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me." Say, "God is for me." Let's keep on going. "In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" I think there's a few more verses, right? "Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Now, what we see is somebody that was dealing with a lot, but he had to say, "Hey, man, hold up. Let me stop all this crying and bickering. God, you got me, right? So the next thing that I'm going to talk about is resting assuredly in God. Number three says, rest assuredly. Now, if we can trust in God after we know him, after we understand that, oh, yeah, God is credible, I can rest in God, right? Oh, only a few people is hearing me right now. Let's go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. This is actually my favorite scripture in the Bible. When I was a teenager, this is just one that hit me. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Now, we have to know God. We have to see what he's able to do. And then we got to rest in God. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, if I don't trust in God, I won't believe that scripture. I would change it up. Go back. If I don't trust in God, I would say something like this. Trust in God. Okay, I trust him in a little bit. With all my heart, some of my heart. And lean not to my own understanding. Hold up, man, please. I know enough. This is what some people say, right? They read that. Nah. So trust in the Lord with some of my heart. Then we go to the next scripture. In all your ways, acknowledge him in most of my ways, right? Most of them. And he shall direct my path. I don't need him to direct my path. I already said that I could do it on my own. Now, some people, even though they have said the prayer and given their life to God, they do not fully trust God. So when it comes to their own understanding, they're going to follow their understanding instead of God's understanding, right? Some of us call it intuition, right? Some of us call it your own way. You don't call it that. It's just your way or the highway, right? Some of us don't trust God with our life, so we do things that get us in more and more trouble. Then we go back to God and say, God, I thought that if I trust in you, God. Well, he said, hey, you thought, but you haven't trusted. Thinking about trusting and trusting in God are two different things, right? Let's go to Psalms 125, verse 1, and I'm going to be wrapping up. I will be done on time. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the scripture. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Now let's look at this scripture. If we believe this, we can rest assured that if I trust in God, and let me explain what trusting in God is. That means this word that he's given us, this Bible, we apply it to our lives. All right? Because we don't just, when we trust God, we shouldn't just trust him with just some of these scriptures and say, God, this is good. That means that we're not fully trusting God, right? A lot of Christians trust, oh, God, I believe that you can give me a lot of money. But when it's like obedience, I don't know about that one. Why? Because you have your own understanding that you're still battling to give to God. You're not trusting in him. But when you trust in him, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. That means lives forever. You can't be moved. How many of us have ever even tried moving a big tree out of the way? That takes a lot of work, right? Or even chopping down a tree or moving a big boulder. That takes a lot of work. After you get done with it, if you're a little bit over 20-something, your body starts aching the next couple of days. Now, not too many people try moving mountains because it's like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this in a natural sense, right? I know faith. They say the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. That means with God, you could do the impossible. But it's not saying that you need to go move Mount Rainier to the left a few inches. That's not what that scripture is saying. If you tried that and it didn't work, that's because that wasn't God's will. All right? But we have to rest assuredly and know that if I apply God's word and I trust in him, my life is going to be okay no matter what the bill collectors are calling and telling me that they're going to do to me, no matter what situations I'm dealing with, no matter what they said at my job, how my job might not be secure. We have to know that if I trust God, I'm going to be okay. Now, does that mean you're not going to have trials? I'm not saying you're not going to have trials, but we have, like an anchor that says that I am going to make it. Now, I guess the anchor's the wrong thing because some people's like, oh, we're going to sink. But you have something that says that you will make it despite what goes on. Another promise that Jesus actually said, he said this, trials are going to come. Troubles are going to come. But be assured that I've overcome the world so you can overcome the world. Now, if you don't trust his word, then trials are going to come and hopefully I'll make it. Now, see, that's somebody that don't have faith in God. But if we understand how good our God is, and goodness always does not mean money. I think sometimes the church is always so caught up in money and money, money. Goodness is some of the things that God saved you from that you don't even realize. I was supposed to go this way and drive that way, and there was a big accident, but somehow I missed the turn to get on the freeway. Do you know that was God ordaining your steps? But we're like, oh, man, that was a bad accident. Wow, oh, man, that was just luck that I didn't get up in there. I mean, we're saying words these days that that's a slap in the face to God. God's like, man, I made that old lady get in the middle of the road so you put your brakes on so you would not be able to go that way, and you're going to say it's luck? I mean, just think of the things that God does that we don't even understand sometimes, and that's because he's ordering our steps. Amen? Number four is follow his commandments. I said this earlier. I'm going to go to Proverbs 22:19, and it says this. Proverbs 22, verse 19, and if you're writing these scriptures down, these are great scriptures to help you remember some of these keys. Follow his commandments, it says, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I have instructed you today, even you. Hold up. Go to the scripture ahead of it real quick. I'm sorry about that, y'all. Up. Okay, there we go. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply to your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. Then it says this, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. So what it is saying is your trust will be complete when you follow God's what? Commandments. Somebody say commandments. Now, I got some people that think that some commandments, I'm not going to go into that right now, but it is very important that we follow God's commandments, his laws, that we have the heart after God. Amen? The last thing that I want to say is, in doing this, we can learn to trust in God. My very last scripture, Jeremiah 17, verse 7, 1 through, or 7 through 10, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters. We heard this before, right? Which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Somebody say drought. Drought is going to come in all of our lives, okay? We all understand that? Cool. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Next verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As we see these scriptures, we can see that it's very important for us to follow his scriptures to be able to trust in God. Now, in closing, some of us may have put ourselves in positions where we have been trusting ourselves more than we have been trusting God. And I can admit I've done that. Does anybody else want to admit that they've done that? Okay, I see your hands. Now, what we have to do is say, not only admit, but we have to change our mindset. We have to change the things that we do so that we can trust God. I'm going to tell you this. It does me no good to pray for you and you go home and do the exact same things. Right? Right? That's just praying for you. But how many of us know that faith without works is dead? It requires action. So for all those that raise their hands, we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray for us all, and then we're going to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that you would allow each and every one of us that are hearing your word right now, dear God, to be able to push our own mindset out of the way, push our own thoughts, our own desires out of the way so that we can learn to trust in you despite our situations, despite the things that others say, God. Dear God, that we would trust your word, that we would follow your word wholeheartedly, oh God. If there's things in our lives that we're doing that are displeasing you, God, allow us to know what they are and allow us to correct those things, oh God. Heavenly Father, I pray to God for each and everybody that's listening to this message, God, that their life would be impacted and changed and that they would trust God more than they ever have before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.